delegates, as was already mentioned by my vice chair colleague Davé, I'm going to chair the next points on the agenda, that means 10, 11 and 12. I shall do my best to get through them in an efficient and hopefully clear way. As you are all aware, we don't have much time. We have a number of agenda points that are still has to be worked through. That means we really need all of us to try to be as efficient as possible. I will try that, and I hope that everybody will help me doing that. We should really like to be able to finalize the whole agenda in due time so that we don't leave any agenda points for next session. That would be unfortunate. I'm sure we all agree on that. So we start immediately on agenda point 10, matters referred to the Commission by coded committees and task forces, which is a mixed combination of different items, but we will take them one by one. I don't know if the Secretariat has any comments before we start going through of a general nature. That doesn't seem to be the case, so we just start with the first point A, which is development of guidelines for traceability product tracing. The document is Salinorm 09/32, para 196. The issue of traceability has been considered by the CCFIC, the 17th session of the CCFIC, in an electronic working group in relation to the development of guidelines on traceability and product tracing. The CCFIC noted in that connection that the information gathered by the working group was not sufficient to identify gaps and specific needs in relation to the implementation of traceability and product tracing, and endorsed the recommendation that the need for further guidance be discussed by the coordinating committees of the Commission system. And that recommendation from the CCFIC was endorsed by the 32nd session of the Commission. After that, the issue was discussed by the coordinating committees, where three coordinating committees, as means CCLAC, CC NASWAP and CC Asia, agreed that there was no need for further guidance. CC Africa didn't make any specific comments on it, and CC Euro considered that it could be useful to keep working on this issue, while the CC Near East considered that further guidance was needed. The situation is that we don't have any clear conclusions from the work of the coordinating committees, and therefore there's no basis for drawing any conclusion. So I would suggest that we simply conclude in this commission that the issue could be taken on board by all member states who are in the process of responding to the circular letter from the CCFIC on the issue of suggestions for new work in the CCFIC. And obviously, traceability could be one issue, so that could be included by all member states when they respond to that circular letter, and that would go into the process for the CCFIC to decide whether they would like to recommend new work for the Commission in the upcoming session. That would be a clear way to handle the situation, I think. I hope the Commission could agree to such a procedure, and I don't see any flags. There is a flag. Norway, Norway, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do not disagree with your proposal there, but recalling the discussion in the CC Euro, we also discussed that traceability as an important element in a national food control system could make that we could make use of taking this, bringing this element aboard when discussing a national food control system during the already ongoing work in the CCFIC. So this could also be reflected in the report from the Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Norway. Good comments, and I think that could be part of the conclusion that should also be dealt with in that context. So I don't see any other flags. That means we conclude as I suggested, and we finalize that issue. The next point on the agenda is the review of existing codex standards in relation to animal feeding, where the issue is that because we have now started working on animal feed in the codex system, we have had one task force, we have decided, we have established a new one, which is going to proceed with its work in the near future. There is a need for all the committees to look into whether their risk analysis principles are affected or they are applicable to the animal feed. The situation or the issue has been considered by different committees, and but they're not finalized. Some committees has not done the work so far. That means that the issue cannot be concluded at this stage. So I think the Commission could simply take note that this is an ongoing activity, and when it has been finalized in all committees, we will come back to the issue in the codex system. So we simply take note of the fact that it is an ongoing activity. Is that acceptable to all members of the Commission? That seems to be the case, as I see no flags. Thank you, delegates. The next point on the agenda is the issue of private standards. Private standards is, an issue that has been on our agenda and on the agenda for different organizations for quite a long time. I think we're all aware that it's a difficult and complicated issue. And in the 33rd session of the Commission, it was decided to address questions to the coordinating committees as a basis for further work. And these four questions has been addressed in the coordinating committees, and we have got the responses. And we are certainly going to have a discussion on the basis of these responses and other comments that may be that may come from delegates. But I would suggest that before we start an open discussion about the issue, that we ask the WTO to give us a short status of what is going on in the WTO and what is the status of work in the WTO, because we're all aware that the debate started in the WTO, and I think that we also all agree that this is a key organization to handle this issue. So I will request the WTO to give us a short information of what has been done and what is the status of work in the WTO. WTO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I think most delegates are aware, the SPS committee at the WTO has been discussing this issue since 2005, and it is still on the agenda just last week of the SPS committee. Let me make it clear from the very start that there is no consensus among WTO members as to whether the issue of SPS private or SPS-related private standards falls within the scope of the SPS agreement or does not fall within the scope of the SPS agreement. This is still an open issue for debate. However, many members, and particular many developing countries, have raised a number of concerns about the effects that these private standards have on food products moving in international trade and as potential barriers to trade. And based on a questionnaire that was circulated to WTO members, among the issues that was most frequently identified and the examples given were of supermarket chains who set MRLs at levels that are not only much lower than levels established by Codex, but actually much lower than levels established by government authorities in those particular countries. And also at regional basis, some of the standards setting MRLs at extremely low levels. There are other specific examples identified, but the most frequent concern relates to very low levels of MRLs. The SPS committee established an ad hoc working group to identify possible actions that could be taken, and I am pleased to report that in March of 2011, the SPS committee agreed on five actions to take. The first is to develop a working definition of an SPS-related private standard. There is a quite fleshed-out draft being considered in this regard. The second is to keep the codex, IPPC and OIE, informed of discussions and considerations in the SPS committee, that's what I am doing right now, on the issue of private standards, but also to invite the codex to report regularly to the SPS committee on its own deliberations and considerations with respect to SPS-related private standards. The third action is for the secretariat at the WTO to keep the SPS committee informed of developments in other WTO bodies, which could be the Committee on Trade and Environment or on Technical Barriers to Trade, for example. The fourth action is addressed to our member governments. They are encouraged to communicate with the entities involved in developing private standards, to communicate with them directly, to sensitize them to the concerns that have been raised in the SPS committee, and also to the importance of the international codex standards. And the fifth action that was agreed was that the SPS committee would explore the possibility of working with codex, IPPC, and OIE to develop and disseminate informative materials about the importance of the relevant international standards. So these are the actions the committee has agreed to and is currently discussing the next steps to put them into place. There are seven other actions, one more that was proposed by the working group where the committee has not reached a consensus to adopt, and six further actions that had been identified by various SPS members, but where there is no consensus from the working group to pursue at this point in time. So this is an issue which we will be continuing to discuss at the WTO. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, WTO, for this explanation. I think it gives us all a very good idea of the, I would say, very active handling of the discussion of the issue of private standards which takes place in the WTO. So we thank you very much for that report, and I'm sure that will go into all delegates' considerations of what we should and should not do in a codex context. Having had this status report from the WTO, I would like to take comments from delegates on the issue of private standards. We don't have any specific proposals at hand, but we would like to take intervention from delegations and on that basis see if there's a basis for conclusion on possible further considerations or work in the Commission, or we should basically agree that this discussion has a very good basis foundation in the WTO, and this is the place where it should continue. So these are at least two options, the two directions we can go in. So please, delegates, the first flag I see is from the United States, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not going to address the work of the WTO, but I do want to encourage members to focus on the importance of efficient standard setting in codex that will address the needs of our members to fulfill gaps and the need to respond to with science-based standards. We have to demonstrate that we are capable to provide the food standards that countries need and want to help them protect their public health and to ensure fair practices in the food trade. If we do so, do fail to do our job to enact science-based standards, we leave a vacuum that most certainly will be filled by private standards organizations. The United States remains fully committed to science and is encouraged by the number of members who this week demonstrated that same commitment as we worked on the MRL for ractopamine and some of the other standards. Regardless of how they turned out, the fact was a very a large number of members remain committed to science. And we think that's important as we address some of the concerns that are raised about the proliferation of private standards and how they affect countries. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, United States. I'm sure we can all agree to your point that a major issue in relating to private standards is that Codex is sufficient. And although we have some problems, we have a few of them where we have discussed at length in this committee, we also realize that we have actually adopted a long range of standards. So certainly it's a very productive commission that we have here. I think this should be remembered when we think about the problems that we also have to face. Life is not easy all the time. Other comments on the issue of private standards from delegates? That doesn't seem to be the case. Thank you. This appears to be an agenda point that we can conclude on quite soon, and I think it would be pertinent to draw the conclusion that obviously Codex will continue to work in close cooperation with the other bodies involved in the issue of private standards, in particular the WTO, but certainly also OIE and IPPC, the other our sister organizations, as we used to call them. And I'm sure we also agree that what we have been discussing at earlier stages concerning private standards, that one issue that we will continue to invite the private standard setting organizations to become observers of Codex, simply to get involved in Codex work, and in the hope that they also realize the importance and the impact that is being discussed in this committee. So I think this is the conclusion we could draw on the issue. So I thank you, all delegates, for a very speedy handling of this agenda point. Thank you. The next... Also. Flag of Brazil, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We agree with most of what you said, but we would like just to remind that the participation of private standard setting bodies in Codex should be carefully analyzed, because there might be some consequences of their participating in Codex. So I think if we decide on their participating on Codex, we should carefully think about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Brazil. Secretariat has an explanation to your comment on this important issue. Secretariat, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you to Brazil. It's very important points that we would like to clarify. This is this general recommendation of WTO and also the work of FAO that to have dialogue with the private standard setting organization, but it should be very clear when we encourage these organizations to apply for observer status. We have very strict procedures, and it's all set out in the procedural manual and also has to follow the rules of FAO and WHO when we have any application for observer status for any NGOs. And of course, we defer to our legal colleagues if they want to add anything, but the first year applications have to be reviewed by the legal services of FAO and WHO, and to see if it's all in order, if it corresponds to our criteria for observer status requests from NGOs. Then, as we have had for some years, it goes to the executive committee for advice. Once we have the advice of the executive committee, it goes again for final approval by the directors generals of FAO and WHO. So it's a very well detailed procedure following the rules of both organizations. So that's any application for observer status has to follow this procedure. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. I hope this explanation satisfied the worries that was expressed by our Brazilian colleagues. Next, I would like to give the floor to Argentina, please.
Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Chairman.
I simply wanted to follow on from what the Secretariat mentioned, to the effect that, in fact, a number of these organisations are essentially commercial concerns and, as such, do not comply with the requirements established by Codex for non-governmental organisations. And I'm very grateful, therefore, for the clarification from the Secretariat on this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Argentina. I'm sure we can all agree on your point. It's very important to be careful that, who we let into the system. Certainly my intention was not to suggest that, for example, private companies would become part of the code system. I don't think anybody wants that. Next, I would like to give the floor to Tanzania, please.
Thank you, Chair. Well, we do completely agree with the conclusion you have made. And in fact, our main concern is with respect to what the Secretariat has just clarified. And I also need to mention to the Commission that we have, as one of the purposes of the Commission under Article 1, that is promoting coordination of all food standards work undertaken by international governmental and non-governmental organizations. So we have a window that we can exploit to make sure we monitor what is happening in the private standards. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Tanzania. Another important addition to how we handle this the situation in the Codex system. Certainly, it is a task of the Codex to be the leading coordinating body of standard setting for food standards at world at the global level. So I see no more flags on this, so thank you, delegates, for speedy handling of this issue. The next point in the document is new options for physical working groups. And we all know that the issue of the use of physical working groups is a thing that has been discussed and will be discussed for the years ahead, I'm quite sure, because we all know there are advantages, but there are also disadvantages in the respect that of inclusion and whatever follows that problem. And especially this issue of inclusion, that means a lack of possibilities for participation in physical working groups, has been the issue for many discussions. The plan was to that the Bureau should have prepared a document for discussion in the Executive Committee on how we dealt with the issue. That was not possible for the Bureau due to time constraints, but by all means, we had a discussion on the issue in the Executive Committee, inter alia on the background of the input that we had from the regional committees who had discussed the issue. So in the Executive Committee, it was clarified that there might have been some misunderstandings of the question that has been raised to the regional committees in the way that it was understood that the intent of taking up the issue was to limit the participation in physical working groups. That was certainly not the case. The conclusion in the Executive Committee was to was that we should continue the discussion on the use of physical working groups, and the Executive Committee recommend that we ask the CC General Principals to consider new options for working with physical working groups in their session, which we expect to have in 2012. And in that discussion, obviously, the General Principals Committee should take on board the comments that has been made by the regional committees, as well as the comments that we picked up in our discussion in the Executive Committee. So this is a suggestion for procedure of processing this issue in the future. I hope that will be acceptable. This is basically meant for information, but obviously, if any delegates has comments, I'm certainly ready to give the floor to them. That doesn't seem... Oh, there is Costa Rica. Please.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I simply wanted to reiterate what had been pointed out a moment ago, to the effect that these physical working groups, as the Secretariat said, can take place a couple of days prior to the meetings rather than on a differentiated basis. And with this in mind, I would say that there is a need always to ensure that full language coverage be provided for these meetings in preparation. Thank you.
Thank you, Costa Rica. I think your notes will, your points will be noted, and I'm sure that both the issue of language will be handled in the future. And we have also taken note of the Secretary's explanation of the advantages of organizing physical working groups back-to-back to committee meetings, because that certainly improves the possibility to participate in working groups. So with these additional comments, I think we could close this agenda point. I see no other flags, so thank you, delegates. Next point is the, I just go through them to make sure that there is no misunderstanding. Next outcome of the CODIS Trust Fund midterm review. This is for consideration under Agenda 14A, so we will not take it up here. The next is revision of standards for meat products, which is an ongoing work in the Food Additive Committee. So I think we can just take note that it is on the agenda and it is being dealt with for the time being. No reaction, thank you. And the next point is the Committee on Fresh fruits and Vegetables. This issue has been dealt with under agenda Item 9, New Work, so there's no need to comment on it here. And the last one is the Committee on Fish and Fishery Products, and this has been dealt with under agenda Item 5, so there's no reason to take it up any further here.